Florida. They frequently service clients in the areas of estate planning and wills, probate, and business law. The firm's slogan is based out of Micah 6:8, to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. We're going to have a brief monologue. After our monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion. We have around the table this morning Dr. Neil Phelps and Dr. Glenn Davis. We're going to be talking about a theological, doctrinal, biblical issue that I believe should get the attention of everyone under the sound of my voice. We're calling the issue today, after this life is over, what then? After this life is over, what then? We're going to get into the depth of the death of a Christian, the death of a lost person, and what will take place? What is the issue that will take place, the issues that will take place after life leaves this body? Now, with the Lord Jesus speaking in relationship to the saved person, he didn't call it death. He said, Lazarus sleepeth. So what is the difference between using the term sleep and death? We'll talk about that. But the main thrust of the broadcast today is for you, our listener, to understand that one day life will be over. For you, for me, for everyone at the sound of my voice. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I believe that based on the authority of the Scripture. No one lives in his physicality forever. But even after this body is gone, everyone on the sound of my voice will live for eternity. The question is, what is your destiny? What is the eternality that you will face? Where will you be? Have you ever considered that? That's where we're going today. That's what we'll be talking about. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you have a question about it. Perhaps you're wondering about your eternal destiny. And as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this profound statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement about the Word of God. Thy word is truth, the Scripture says. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Forever is a pretty long time. We're talking about eternality. But ladies and gentlemen, there are some that do not believe in truth, some that reject truth. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, Orwell said, and I make the statement, I quote, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, that's true whether you're speaking about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, or secular societal issues, or some political rhetoric. Ladies and gentlemen, there's always the elusiveness of truth, where so many today have their own versions of truth. It was the survey that was done just a couple of years back. Headline says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, most younger Americans, the millennial age group, make this statement. Each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, a half-truth is a whole lie. Either you have the truth or you don't. And this is the reason I go back to the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. As we face the issues each and every day, we do not base the determination on denominational dogma, philosophical rhetoric, or political jargon. We base the answers and the questions in relationship to the issue each day on the Word of God, the truth book, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Now, I'm looking at a headline that's what you would call distressing. It says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And I find there are a lot of people today that do not realize the danger we're in as a society in relationship to truth. Good example of that, if I can insert this. President Trump and others have been rejoicing over the fact that in a 21 or 22-point peace plan for the nation of Israel, the first thing is to release the hostages. 48 hostages. I think about 28 of them are deceased, and the others are alive. So the first phase is to return the hostages. And phase number two will be for all of Hamas to surrender every weapon of war, every machine gun, every assault weapon, every box of ammo, to turn it loose, release it, surrender it. Now, the socialist, Marxist, communist media have been changing the dialogue and redirecting it. The true Trump really has not developed the peace plan. Trump really is not the one that's behind it. It was this factor or that factor or the other, taking a digression from truth, trying to remake truth from what truth really is and what has really happened. Now, by the way, as I said on the broadcast yesterday, it is my opinion that they'll never reach, my opinion, they'll never reach stage two in the 21-22 point issue in the final settlement. I do not believe that the Islamic jihadists, whether they're called Palestinians or whether they're called Hamas, I don't believe they'll ever surrender their weapons of war. Their goal is to destroy the nation of Israel. So I'm just using that as the digression to point out that there is a major difference in the prism in which you view something. This is the reason I've said everything that takes place in our world, whether it's local, state, national, international, we need to view it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? And according to the Scripture, we understand that Jesus says He is truth. And I'm looking at a statement made by the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. So, ladies and gentlemen, I call on you today to recognize the truth book as the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you're asking, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old San Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for a Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory. 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about this subject today, I want you to understand that it's the subject that most do not ever, perhaps you could say, most never consider life after death or the destiny after death. So Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, thank you for being here. Let me ask each of you to take a moment and say a few words as we start our broadcast today with this somber but yet serious subject. After life is over, what then? Dr. Davis, thank you for your drive to be here in our studio today. Thank you for being here to discuss this serious issue. Speak to us for a moment.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for the wonderful introduction. Amen. And I certainly thank God for being back in the number one more time. Amen. Say good morning to my bride of 39 years. Amen. And all the family and friends and ones near and far, amen, I've asked to listen by way of ilovethetruth.com.
Amen.
So we have some from New York. We have some from North Carolina. We have some from upper, middle, and lower Georgia. Some parts of Florida, amen, as far south as Miami and Key West, amen, that I have encouraged to listen to this broadcast.
Amen.
And I hope and pray that they will get something from this on today, because if you are a believer in Christ, you must know that your eternal destiny is to be with God. Amen.
Amen.
We're only going to meet him one of two ways. That's either through the grave or through the rapture.
That's
amen.
Right.
So we have to be ready.
That's
amen.
Right.
Be ready at all times. Amen.
Absolutely. I'm glad you touched on that with the rapture. That's a favorite subject of mine. And Lord willing, after about the 10th or 11th manuscript draft and editing of that, I'm prayerful that we'll have the book called The Rapture Debate resolved. I'm praying that we'll have that to the publishing house sometimes in the very next few days.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to that. Dr. Phelps, say a few words to us as we start our broadcast today.
I'm so glad that I have a part today and can speak about the hope that we have as believing Christians. I was meditating upon a scripture passage as I was driving to the church today. Titus in chapter 2, verse 13, we as Christians can look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. And that may be today. As I read the scriptures, I understand that the very next event on the calendar of hope for the family of God is the soon coming of Christ. I praise the Lord that God's people do have hope. And that hope gives us comfort. It's the comfort that we have from the scriptures that causes us then to look up and look beyond this whole world. This whole world is going to pass away.
Right.
It's not going to last forever. But we have a hope of things to come. And that hope is based upon the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Well stated. So as we think about the subject, ladies and gentlemen, the issue, after life is over, what then? It reminds me, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, I don't know if you've ever heard, and of course I did not hear him personally, but Dr. R.G. Lee was what was called the Golden Tongue Orator. Dr. R.G. Lee, one of his messages, Payday Someday, he preached that 601 times during his 50-some-odd years in pulpit ministry. But one of the things that I recall in one of his statements and a message that he had delivered, I had the privilege of not being present but hearing it years later. Dr. Lee tells a story about preaching a revival meeting at a sister church. Wasn't his pulpit, but a sister church. And he said after that meeting on that Sunday morning as the visiting pastor, he said he was greeting the people as they'd leave the vestibule of the church. And one young man, he shook hands with him, asked him his name. He told him, and he said, what do you do? And he said, I am in college. And he said to the young man, what are you studying? And he said, I'm studying architect. I'm in an architectural training school. And Dr. Lee says, well, what do you plan to do? And he said, I will, you know, continue my college degree and graduate. And Dr. Lee said, what then? And he said, well, after the graduation, I hope to go to work with a architectural firm and work with the firm. He said, what then? He said, well, I'm prayerful that after a length of time, I'll be able to climb the ladder, become one of the executives in the company. And Dr. Lee said, what then? And he said, well, perhaps 25 or 30 years, I'll retire. And Dr. R.G. Lee said, what then? And he said, well, after retirement, I'll have the privilege of traveling around the world, enjoying life and sightseeing and being with my family that would not have had time to do all of those years. And Dr. R.G. Lee said, what then? And he said, well, I reckon eventually I'll die. And Dr. R.G. Lee said, what then? And that young man said, I've never given that consideration. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly the mindset, the person that I'm speaking to today. Many have never questioned afterlife, what then? So Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, that's what I want us to talk about today. The young man said, I've never given that thought. Listen, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So ladies and gentlemen, listen, life on earth will one day be over. Dr. Phelps?
Well, one of the great things that I would like to share with everyone today is this, that the world is uncertain about the future. Mm-hmm. But I'm so thankful we have the information in our Bible, and the God of truth has told us and given us certainty of things to come.
Yes.
So the biblical answer to the world's uncertainty about the future is the teaching of truth concerning things to come, and that's found in God's Word.
Yes. Amen.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, what say you?
Well, here's what I would like to add to that, basically. I would like for all believers to be encouraged, mm-hmm. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave sealed that guarantee up for us that we will live again. Death is not the end. Even the Bible says in Psalm 116, I believe that's verse 15, to God, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Yes.
You're going to get out of here one day. Mm-hmm. So let's not let our youth, and I've been there before, mm-hmm. even though I'm still less than 100.
That's right.
Amen. I'm on the
that's right.
other side of 100, not on the lower side
that's
of 100.
Right.
Amen. But I felt indestructible as a young person. Mm-hmm. And in the example that you said, that you that the pastor was asking the young man the questions, young people don't think about dying.
That's right.
In fact, they don't have a real fear of dying, because the number one thing with them is that they are unlearned.
That's right.
I don't want to call them ignorant, but the word is kind of synonymous right there. Mm-hmm. But they are unlearned as to what the certainty of life is all about.
That's right.
We were born, but we're also going to die.
Yes.
So we have to understand, for the believer, just like you prepare, and it sounds like that young man was preparing to do a lot of things while he was living.
Right. Not prepared to die.
But he wasn't preparing for anything after he leaves here.
That's
so
right.
This is what we have to do today as believers. We're here now, but you have to prepare for what's going to happen after you leave the earth.
Right.
Now, we know that we're going to be with God, number one. He has promised us that, and I don't have any better sense than to believe God.
Amen.
To take him at his word.
That's right.
Amen. I will never doubt that. Mm-hmm. But we have to also understand that we still have to give an account. God gave us life. He didn't give it to us freely to live as we want, because the Bible said that we were bought with a price.
Right.
It costed Christ Jesus his life on the cross. Mm-hmm. This man shed his blood, innocent blood, and he wasn't guilty. He didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And the Bible said, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Man, that's powerful.
That's right.
Amen.
That man never said a foul word. Mm-hmm. You know, every once in a while, if we're doing some work with the hammer and we hit our hand or our thumb, our finger, you might end up saying something that you ought not be saying.
That's right.
Amen. Even though it might not be a curse word, but it's still foul.
That's right.
But that never happened with Christ Jesus. Even while they were nailing him on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Absolutely.
So again now, let's understand, Christ even said that when he came into this world, he didn't come to do his will, but the will of him that sent him. And then in John 17, which I hear you quote almost every day on the radio.
That's right.
He said, Father, I finished my work in this world. Now I want you to receive me up into the glory where I once came from, and I will that the ones you gave me be with me so that they can behold our glory. Amen? Yeah.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
One day we're going to be able to behold all that glory.
Amen. Absolutely. And going back to your statement, it caused me to think about Jesus. He was impeccable. That means impossible to yield to any temptation.
Amen.
Because he had God's blood in his veins, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28.
Amen.
But he, according to Scripture, he had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. The impeccability of Christ. Wonderful study, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. So, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, what I would like for us to do is, first of all, analyze life after death for the believer. Then I want us to review what the Bible says, life after death for the non-believer. There is a vast difference. There is a major, major, major difference in the eternality of one that is lost and one that is saved. So there's a lot of confusion, ladies and gentlemen, in the life of some believers today. And the confusion is something that I think we need to touch on to get kind of put at rest before we look at the balance of what we want to talk about today.
Amen.
Many believe in what is called soul sleep. Soul sleep. Dr. Phelps, what is soul sleep that many believe in today and teach that the soul sleeps and or the spirit, whichever one they'd want to call it? What does that teach? What's wrong with that teaching? And how should we reject it?
Well, it is contrary to the teaching of the Scriptures about man's existence. God originally created us in his own image.
Yes.
According to Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. Now, the word man refers to God's creation of human beings in the image of God. On the sixth day of the creation activity, God made man to have dominion over the earth and of all living things. So we have the biblical account of man's existence. Now, many people don't want to believe that. But you see, there's a problem with that. Their unbelief does not affect the truthfulness of what God tells us.
Amen.
God's truth is immutable.
Right.
And God is not obligated to change the truth to fit man's unbelief.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So one of the things that I'm sure of today is that I can rely upon the biblical account of man's existence. And the truth is that Adam was the first man. He was made in the image of God. And when we talk about the image of God, we have to think about this. God exists eternally.
Amen.
He's the everlasting God. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That's the God of Christians today. So in creation, the likeness of the Creator was placed upon mankind. Since mankind was designed in God's image, he will exist somewhere forever. If Adam had not sinned against God, he'd still be living on the earth. but he's going to exist forever.
That's right.
Same is true for you and me. So since it's true of the first man, Adam, it's true of us. We are made a living soul to exist somewhere forever. Now, Adam's body lasted 930 years, but his soul and spirit will exist forever. So we're talking about eternal existence. That's for everybody. But it all depends on what our destiny is and where we're going to be in the future.
Right.
Amen.
One of the things, I'm glad you gave that as a good foundation and a backdrop. One of the things, and we could probably name two or three different mainline denominations that believe that when a person dies, you place that body in the casket, the body and the soul are asleep until the great day of judgment, as it is called. I believe the Seventh-day Adventists believe that. I believe in some realms of Jehovah's Witness, that's what is believed. I believe in some realms of Mormonism, that's what is believed. But when the body dies, that body goes into the grave, but that soul, I prefer to use the term spirit, we're a spirit being, that spirit goes into eternity.
Amen.
For the lost person, it's a different place of eternity. For the saved, we'll talk about that lost person in a moment. But for that saved person, there's no such thing as soul sleep. To be absent from the body, the scripture says, is to be present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul made that statement in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He made that statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, 7, and 8, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, after life is over for the believer, what then? What then? We do not have soul sleep. We do not remain in the grave. In fact, when Jesus was talking with Mary and Martha about the death of Lazarus, they said, one of them said, well, you know, 3 days and by now, Lord, he stinketh. And Jesus says, Lazarus is asleep. He's asleep. You find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 through 31, when the Apostle Paul was talking to the church at Corinth in relationship to what they were doing and a bad practice in celebrating the Lord's Supper and using it as a drunken bash. And he said, as a result of the way you're living, some sleep, and some die, some sleep. He's talking about that for the Christian would be sleeping, but not soul sleeping, as so often it is called. Some believe that after death, people are sent to some temporary holding place, like purgatory or limbo. Dr. Davis, is there such a place as limbo or purgatory?
Well, you know, I've only heard of it on the cartoon shows. it's not real. That's in right. Other words, let's make sure that we don't fool ourselves. Mm-hmm. Many denominational teachings are in error. There's a lot of tradition
that's
in error. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I always advise people to consult the Word of God.
Amen.
I just read over here a while ago in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, where King Solomon, when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he said in verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
Right.
So this is telling me that when we leave here, whether we're saved or unsaved, the spirit is going back to God. Mm-hmm. But you have to know, after death comes the judgment. And so when God judges us, then he'll determine, or rather the life that you're living right now is going to determine whether you be with him or whether you're going to end up in hell.
Absolutely.
So let's make sure we don't make that mistake.
So ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, the subject is, the issue, after life is over, what then? That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. What are your questions about the afterlife? What are your questions today about salvation and where you will spend eternity, or what you have been taught would be the eternal factor? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is clear. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In fact, Jesus, describing death as for a believer, says he's asleep. So I want us to understand what takes place. We're going to talk about, after the top of the hour news break, after the news, we're going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, what happens, what are the events in the life of a Christian after this life on earth is over? What takes place with the Christian after death? After death, what happens? What then? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after.